Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading chapter 11 from canto 10, which is Krishna's childhood pastimes. Yay! And because we had a really long class this morning, we didn't even get to have any discussion. So we're going to have a short class this evening and more discussion this evening. Just a little summary. Chapter 11 is Krishna's pastime, the beginning of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Chapter 11 begins, they're still living in Gokul, because after Krishna was born, he requested Vasudeva to carry him in his child form to Gokul, the other side of the river Jamuna. So Gokul is on the eastern side, Jamuna runs north and south, basically. And Gokul is on the eastern side. So after 3 years, 4 months, they shifted because too many demons, not safe for the children, fresh grasses for the cows, and no wild animals, safe from protection by the king, although he was a wicked person, King Kamsa. And so they decided to go to Vrindavan forest. They shifted, and Krishna liked it very much. Three main reasons mentioned. Govardhan, the bank of the river Jamuna. They were just on the western bank. And the size of the land that they occupied, they put thorn bushes and so forth around the perimeter. 16 miles by 8 miles. That was the space that they occupied, the cowherds. But there were a lot of cows. Commonly it's said there are 900,000 cows, and here it also says asankhyata, like too many to count. So, childhood pastimes, little boys, 3, 40 years old, they did things that those kind of boys do, and it's described. And Krishna and Balaram had a fascination for cows, so they went with Nanda, little boys, big cows, and Nanda into the pasturing ground. They wanted to take charge of the cows. Nanda said, "You're too small, they're so big, but you can herd the calves, but you have to come back for lunch." And so they began herding calves, and then after some time he continued, didn't even come back for lunch, and they did things when they were playing together with the calves in the Vrindavan forest. And gradually they started going to further and further places. We hear in chapter 11 of Kamsa sending Vatsasura, the calf demon. Krishna took care of him. Nice description of that pastime. Some time passed, and later they went all the way very far to Nandagram from where they were residing. And Nandishwar, it's spoken of in the Bhagavatam. And they saw what looked like a mountaintop that had been knocked off its top by a thunderbolt of Indra. And then they got closer and they realized it wasn't a mountaintop, it was something else. It looked like maybe an animal. Then they got closer and it was a big crane. And so Krishna went close, knowing exactly what was going on. It was Bakasura. Bakasura tried to devour Krishna. Krishna was playing. He got in the beak of Bakasura and became hot like fire. Bakasura spit him out. Then he tried to bite Krishna. Krishna bifurcated his beak. And the coward boys went, yay! By this time, the cows had... When Krishna was in the beak of Bakasura, the coward boys and Balaram fainted because of attachment. Krishna's in difficulty. No. And then Krishna got free, and then they came back to consciousness, and they gathered the cows, and they're going back to Vrindavan. And that's where we are. And so the boys composed songs to tell the people back in Vrindavan what Krishna did that day. Do you know what Krishna did today? What? And they sang their songs to tell them. So now that's where we're beginning. The cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, began to contemplate. It is very astonishing that this boy, Krishna, has many times faced many varied causes of death. By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it was these causes of fear that were killed instead of him. And Srila Prabhupada's very brief purport. The cowherd men innocently thought, because our Krishna is innocent, the causes of death that appeared before him were themselves killed instead of Krishna. This is the greatest grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes on the same verse, three verses describe the amazement of the cowherd men in discussing Krishna's exploits. Quote, the boy has had many causes of death because they first caused danger to our innocent boy, Bayam. The cowherds speak until verse 58, so it's 55, 57, 56, 57, 58. Four verses, this plus three more. These verses will be explained separately. The cowherd men began speaking with amazement among themselves. Aho expresses astonishment, and Bhatta expresses lamentation. There have been many causes of death for this young boy. They called him Balasya out of affection. Sridhar Swami explains that demons were killed because they caused fear in others. Another explanation of the last phrase is they were killed because after coming, they caused Krishna fear. Sanatana Goswami, in his commentary, writes, the cowherd men speak among themselves with astonishment in three verses. Aho indicates astonishment or lamentation, and Aho Bhatta indicates extreme lamentation. Extreme lamentation. He has had many causes of death. They thought of him as always as a small child, Balasya, out of great affection. Or they wonder about the reason. Perhaps the death of Bhaka and others was previously arranged, Kritam, because they caused us fear. They're speculating. Vishwanath Chakravarti writes, three verses, 55 through 58, that's four verses, describe the amazement of the cowherd men in discussing Krishna's exploits. Quote, this boy has faced many causes of death, mrityavaha, but these causes of fear were killed, not our innocent boy. The next text is 56. The translation reads, although the causes of death, the daityas, were very fierce, they could not kill this boy Krishna. Rather, because they came to kill innocent boys, as soon as they approached, they themselves were killed, exactly like flies attacking a fire. And Srila Prabhupada's purport, Nanda Maharaj innocently thought, perhaps this boy Krishna formerly killed all these demons, and therefore in this life they are envious and are attacking him. But Krishna is a fire, and they are flies, and in a fight between fire and flies, the fire is always victorious. Unquote. Fighting is always taking place between the demons and the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He quotes Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam. Anyone who is against the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be killed life after life. Ordinary living beings are subject to karma, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always victorious over the demons. Vishwanath Chakravarti writes, the cowherd men question, is it not possible that because in previous lives this boy caused trouble to the demons, in this life the demons are causing trouble to him? This verse answers that question. Quote, if it were true, then they would have been able to destroy Krishna, but they were unable to kill him. Enam na abhi bhavanti. Rather, when they desired to kill Krishna, they got killed by him. Jiva Goswami writes, this describes the demon's death. This is not just baka, but the multiple. They appeared ferocious since they tried to kill him. They speculated about the cause of his being saved, taking the last line of the previous verse. The meaning can be as follows. Garga said, quote, this is the name-giving ceremony from chapter 8, canto 10, the Namakarana and the cow shed. Nanda Maharaj had gone to pay his taxes in Mathura. When he was there, he requested the celebrated astrologer Garga Muni to do the name-giving ceremony for the boys, Krishna and Balaram. So he decided to take them to a secluded place, very appropriate, in a cowshed, so wouldn't get on Kamsa's radar screen, and put two and two together and say, aha, that's the eighth child of Devaki. So he did it privately. So he in the name-giving ceremony, he spoke eight verses about Krishna, and here's one of them. In a previous birth, speaking about Krishna, in a previous birth, when Indra was dethroned and the devatas were afflicted by the demons, they were rescued by Krishna, conquered the demons, and then flourished. So that's Canto 10, Chapter 8. So there's a few references. One of them, where Krishna or Vishnu comes to rescue the demigods when they lose their kingdom, is found in chapter 10 of Canto 8, where Bali Maharaj brings the forces of the Daityas to attack the demigods. There's a big battle. And the demigods are losing. And Krishna comes, or Vishnu comes, and defeats the Daityas. So the demigods get their kingdom back. So here's a little heroes among the demons, such as Kala Nemi, Mali, Sumali, and Malyavan, fought the Supreme Personality of Godhead and were all killed by the Lord. So maybe they were killed in the previous lifetime, they're trying to get back. Because he remembered that. Nanda Maharaj remembered those words of Garga Muni. In a previous birth, Krishna had thus killed fearful demons, but even if they had now come to kill him, because he killed them in the past, they could not kill him now. These demons, like Baka, look fierce. What to speak of their actions? This indicates that they are most sinful. However, the demons could not injure him at all. Not only that, they immediately died on their own. How is it that so many of them came and suddenly died on their own? An example is given. They were like moths entering fire. This shows the power of Krishna's pious acts. Because of the piety of Krishna, he was easily able to defeat fierce, powerful demons. That's how they processed it. It is suggested that those who are violent die by their sins. Those who are violent die by their sins. This reminds me, reading this reminds me of the story of the descent of the Ganges. Why the Ganges descended? Because King Sagara had 100 sons by one queen and one son by another queen, and he was planning a yajna. And Indra became very nervous because he had done too many yajnas, Ashvamedha yajnas. So in disguise, he came and kidnapped the horse, and he took the horse to the abode where Kapila Dev was doing meditation. You know the story?
When I was reading the Bhagavad.
Yeah, you remember. You remember. So what happened was, The Brahmins told the king, Sagara, you better get that horse, because if you don't get the horse, then it's not just we can't finish the yajna, but you're going to get a big reaction because we started the yajna. You can't leave the yajna incomplete. You got to find that horse. So he sent his 100 sons to go find the horse. And they couldn't find, they came back, they couldn't find the horse. He said, you got to go find the horse. Even if you have to go, wherever you have to go. So they went down to the nether region, to lower regions of the universe, and they came to the place where the horse was there, and Kapila was there. Now Indra purposefully put the horse by a place where Kapila was doing meditation, thinking that if they found the horse, they may try to take the horse, and then they're going to have a problem with Kapila. So sure enough, the 100 sons thought, he's the thief. They got their weapons and started to attack him. And he opened his eyes, and the sons of Sagara burst into flames. Now our acharyas say, some people wrongly indicate that Kapila burned them with fire. But the correct understanding is that their sinful deed burned them with fire. There's this similar explanation in I think it's Katha Upanishad, where one Brahmin wants to perform a yajna and he sends Nachiketa to go get fire for the yajna, to get wood for the yajna. But he says, don't just get wood for the yajna, get fire from the hellish abode of Yamaraj. So he goes, and with folded palms, he requests Yamaraj, can I have some fire? And Yamaraj laughs. And he said, don't think that's because there's something burning here in this hellish region that burns people. It's their sins that are burning the people. You can't take the fire. So back. It is suggested that those who are violent die by their own sins. That's Nanda Maharaj's consideration. Sanatana Goswami writes, though they came to harm, abhi bhavanti, they could not, even though Baka and others looked fierce. What to speak of their actions? Eva means certainly. They speak like ordinary people, the cowherd men, out of great affection for Krishna. This is not a fault. Not only this, the demons were immediately killed. Many demons came from somewhere, but were suddenly killed, like moths entering a flame. And the last part, Nanda Maharaj innocently thought, perhaps this boy, Krishna, formerly killed all these demons. We mentioned this. And therefore, in this life, they're troubling him? Is that possible? This verse answers that question, which is, if that were true, then they would have been able to destroy Krishna. But when they tried to kill Krishna, they got killed by him. Because, you know, they're thinking, Krishna again and again and again, even with killing these demons, he's showing power. Aishwarya, opulence, majesty, divinity. He's not an ordinary person. But they can't see him other than their beloved child, and he needs their protection, and somehow the Supreme Lord is kind to them and has protected them, and so forth and so on. They can't see his divinity. We're hearing this again and again and again, so I don't mind saying it again and again, because it's being repeated by the pastimes and the commentary about the pastimes. There's a conception of God, like when I grew up in a Christian family, it's Lord God Almighty, like, you know, mighty, powerful, filled with all powers. That's God. And that's the conception of Vaikuntha. Bhagavan has all opulences in full. That's the meaning. Parashramuni states it in Vishnu Purana. Bhagavan means one who has six opulences in full. All strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. So, and subdivisions of those things. So he who has all those, that's Narayana, and he's presiding in Vaikuntha. And he's regarded in Vaikuntha with awe and veneration. That's the mood. Awe and reverence. And the worship is done accordingly. Just like if you go to take darshan of Balaji, it's like, you know, and one time we went there, we were told ahead of time, look closely, because the certain festival time, Balaji is attired in a vest that's 100% diamonds. I mean, they don't broadcast it because people might try to steal it, but you know, when they shine the light, you can see it's diamonds, not just a diamond. It's a cloth, a deity dress of diamonds. Very opulent. So that's how Narayan is to be, is worshipped in Vaikuntha. That's Haridam, the abode of Hari. And then in that Haridam, the topmost region of Haridam is Ayodhya, where there's opulence, and there's additional to opulence, there's sweetness, like a sweetness of the relationship of mother and father for Ram. In Vaikuntha, Narayan doesn't have a mother and father, no mother and father. There's no brothers of Narayan. He has expansions, but no brothers. And in Ayodhya, he has three brothers, and so on. There's sweetness in Ayodhya in addition to the Aishwarya feature, the opulence, the Bhagavan Supreme Lord feature. And then above Haridham is Golokadham. And in Goloka, there's Dwaraka, and there's same opulence, Purushottama. Krishna resides in Dwaraka, and there's all opulence. Gosh, all opulence. But there's intimacy that even is greater. He not only has one wife, he has 16,108 wives. And he expands himself into 16,108 Krishnas, with a palace for each wife, and 10 sons for each wife. Each 10 sons has 10 sons. It's like, it's a big family. And so, etc. The sweetness is even greater. And then in Mathura, even greater, and in Vrindavan, even greater. So we're hearing the pastimes in Vrindavan, and so naturally, the acharyas, could you turn the volume a little bit? You keep turning it down. No? You didn't turn it down. Can you turn it up? Okay. Thanks. The residents of Vrindavan are entitled to a relationship with Krishna that matches the strength, the intensity of their affection for him. There's different rasas, the servitude, friendship, parental affection, conjugal rasa. But the conjugal rasa, for example, we were hearing at length in earlier chapters, the contrast of Vasudeva and Devaki with Nanda and Yashoda. When Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, they offered prayers. Nanda Yashoda didn't offer prayers. Krishna showed a four-armed form, and he declared, "I'm the personality of Godhead." That didn't happen with Nanda and Yashoda. And even when Krishna showed his childhood pastimes, he expressed when he, after he freed Vasudeva and Devaki from their shackles, after annihilating Kamsa, he apologized, said, "I'm out of fear of Kamsa. I was away for so long, and you didn't get the opportunity to participate with us in our childhood pastimes." So Yashoda and Nanda are appreciated by Shukadeva Goswami as being so fortunate. Vasudeva and Devaki gave birth, and Nanda and Yashoda were with him 24/7. For 11 years, 8 months, on his childhood pastimes, up to his Kaishor age. So, and when Krishna did show his powers, like he showed Mother Yashoda the whole universe within his mouth, or to the cowherd men after Nanda Maharaj was taken by the agents of Varuna deep within the sea in the abode of Varuna. And Krishna went to rescue Nanda, and he was worshipped by Varuna, and Nanda Maharaj saw it. Wow, my son's being worshipped by this opulent, very celebrated demigod, Varuna. So when he went back to Vrindavan, he told all the cowherd men, you know what? Who is this boy? And then they started speculating, saying, maybe he's Narayan. And if he is, maybe he'll show us his abode, his eternal realm. Because we're in this path of samsara, birth and death, and up and down, and higher, lower. If he would just even show us that place. So Krishna knew that, that they were thinking that way. So Krishna showed them. It's a very celebrated section. Krishna took them to the same place that later Akura was shown the same thing when leaving for Mathura. He saw the same thing. He immersed them in the river Jamuna. They came out, lifted them up, and they saw Krishna Loka. He showed them his spiritual abode. And they saw Krishna in his spiritual form in Krishna Loka. And they saw themselves with Krishna in Krishna Loka. And they were really happy. But they couldn't see his divinity. He closed the curtain, they forgot everything. By his yogamaya potency, they were covered. So that that intimacy wouldn't be spoiled. Their love is so strong, he didn't want to disturb their love. He wanted to reciprocate with their desire. In short, to see his divinity, or to see the universe within his mouth. I mean, there's a whole other reason why he did that. But the main point is this. Their love as friend or parent or conjugal lover, or even those that were younger and wanted to serve Krishna, their affection for him was so overwhelmingly strong, even when he showed his Aishwarya feature, it didn't stick. Didn't stick. Someone sent me this little reference, because they heard me say it several times, like water off a duck's back. You've heard that expression before? No? Water off a duck's back. So there's another expression they sent me. The water off a lily leaf. Because it's meaningful to me because when I was, before coming here to Naperville, I was in Palatine. And in the back, there's a big pond. And there's lots of... Yeah, lots of ducks. And they come flying in. And you know, when it rains, like, doesn't matter because it's water off a duck's back, right? Doesn't stick. Doesn't stick. That's the meaning. It doesn't, like water on a lily leaf, just rolls off. So it didn't stick with them that he look at this divinity. They would, and there were times, and here's one of them, where they'll go, whoa, who is he? But they would end up just that he's pious, and so the piety protect him, but Supreme Lord intervened because he's pious and protected him. And these demons, they think there's something big, but it's like Krishna's like fire, and they just entered into fire and they're gone. Fierce looking, but because the power of Krishna's piety, or Nanda Maharaj is a very pious king, so his piety is protecting his son. They process things that way. The majesty that Krishna showed would simply serve to amplify their affection. That's what happened. The example given It's a good example. Like ghee put into a fire, initially the fire goes down a bit and then whew. So initially they go, whoa, who is he? And then whew, it just would make the flame of their intense feelings of love. Oh, he's in difficulty. Oh, now he's safe. And now they just embrace him, and it just added to the intensity of their affection for him. Each of the things, because that's what he does. If there's vinashaya chaduskritam, he's admonishing the demons, destroying them. But when he does it in the presence of the Vrijvasis, like, whoa, what's going on? And then it's just, he's great. Let's have a festival. That's how they live their life, from one celebration of intimate exchange with Krishna to the next, to the next, to the next. Okay, so I promised we'd have a short class. That's our short class. And we have questions from this morning, but I think what I'll do is we'll spend some time, if there's anybody here that's present who would like to have some discussion on some part of what we've been covering.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I have a question. We are watching Mahabharata on Star Plus TV here. Yesterday, we were watching where Karna and Krishna had some discussion with each other, where Krishna asked him, it's time that you should lay your weapons down and then take the surrenderness or be ready to die. What happens there? Like, why is he asking him, where all his lifetime Karna was raised and grew up to fight Arjuna?
Well,
is he trying to defend Arjun as his friend or
no,
Bhakta?
No. My understanding is this. Like Ram would do things like the following. He would give the person who's acting improperly the opportunity to act properly. Before there would be confrontation or conflict, very peacefully, very, you know, gently, take the high road. Okay. And by influence of a pious person, sometimes people that are impious take the high road. You know, often they don't, but sometimes they do. Just by the influence of that elevated person. This is Krishna or Ram.
So they chose who they want to talk with? Like, Duryodhana was there, but he had too much ego or way too much of a...
Well, Krishna already had gone through that exercise with him in the royal assembly. He came and offered peace. And Duryodhana rejected it. And that, worse than that, Duryodhana stormed out and then he came back in ready to kill Krishna. And then the partial universal form and all that. So he already showed his colors. He was given the opportunity, come to a higher position. No way.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for the beautiful lecture. My question is regarding the rasas that you said. I know there are five prominent rasas.
Primary.
And then there are seven, I know you
secondary.
Said obviously, yeah, seven secondary. So which are the secondary rasas, the seven secondary rasas? And how do they relate, or I know you say it's a catalyst?
Well, let's take one rather than listing the seven. One of them is astonishment. Another is sorrow. Take the microphone. You're a little playful. Okay. When Mother Jasoda saw the universe within Krishna's mouth, the result was a secondary rasa, astonishment. And secondary rasas have a purpose. They enhance the primary rasa. But while it's happening, it seems to eclipse or cover. The astonishment is so great they forget. And they get into this, you know, discomfort space where they're disoriented and, but you know, it's just a heightening of the ecstasy in the mood of astonishment that actually strengthens the primary rasa. That's the function of secondary rasas. So here's another is sorrow. It's in Ramayana abundantly. It's in the feelings in Vrindavan when there's separation from Krishna. Here we're hearing aho and bata, that the aho is astonishment. That's one of the secondary rasas. They're like, how has this boy been protected? How were the fierce, terrible demons so easily defeated? It's an ecstasy that covers the primary rasa, but enhances the primary rasa, and then it recedes. And then it's like the flow of the pastimes carries on without the secondary rasa reaching a peak. That's the function. Dread is a third. And so those kinds of intense emotions.
Okay, thank you. My other question is how Duryodhana didn't take on to that higher, higher, like Karna did take the higher road, but Duryodhana could not. And even in the life we see that sometimes, you know, a devotee is trying to preach to someone, but some people just don't take it.
Yes.
And some people, despite taking it, they can't follow or imply it. So what is the difference or why does that happen or what is that blocking point?
Attachment. Attachment to being the enjoyer of the temporary. Same thing that brings us here keeps us here. There's a little more technical is two Sanskrit terms. I'll just use the English. A throwing potency and a covering potency. Maya has these two sub-potencies. Throwing, living entities thrown into the material circumstance or contact with matter, and then matter keeps a hold on the living entity. So it looks like the living entity can't let go. Maya doesn't leave them alone, but they don't let go. There's a little story that may help you to understand. Prabhupada told this story. It's one of these traditional stories. So one student asked his guru, Guruji, why is it so difficult to overcome the material energy? And the guru said, that's a very important question. Let me meditate on this. You come back tomorrow. So the student was thinking, oh, this is an important question, and I've been wanting to get the answer, and Guruji is going to give me the answer. You know the story? So he went back, and he heard as he's approaching the Guru's ashram, his voice calling, help! Help! And he started running. Whoa, Guruji's in trouble. What's happening? And he saw him wrapped around a tree and arms and legs, and he tried pulling the guru free, and he couldn't pull the guru free. And then his guru stood up and said, there's your answer. it's very difficult to give up Maya because we're holding on so tightly.
What is that one thing that would help us let go of Maya?
Well, one thing is understanding how much more attractive is Krishna than Maya. There's a nice story in Ramanujacharya's life. Ramanujacharya. So in Sri Rangam, there was a festival. They have regular festivals where the Utsav Murti is taken in a procession, in a palanquin or in a cart or a chariot or something. And they have, you know, the Brahmins reciting and the musicians playing their music. And, you know, it's a very nice festival, but it's for the pleasure of the deity. So Ramanujacharya and his followers were attending the festival. And on the other side, as the procession was going on, was this really powerful man. He was the wrestler of a nearby king, and he wasn't paying any attention at all to the festival. He was just staring at his girlfriend. And Ramanujacharya commented, "Does this man have no shame? So bring him here." So they went, and he brought him. I forget his name, but and Ramanujacharya said, "What were you doing?" He said, "I'm charmed by the beautiful eyes of my girlfriend. I can't take my eyes off of her eyes." And Ramanuja said, "If I could show you something more beautiful than her eyes, would you be able to let go?" He said, "Yes. There's nothing more beautiful than her eyes." So he brought it before the deity of Ranganath. And he opened his eyes and saw Ranganath's eyes, and that was it. He was done. So he left his girlfriend. But his girlfriend then also became a follower of Ramanujacharya, and they became celebrated personalities in his entourage, attached to Ranganath instead of each other's eyes.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Anyone else? Because otherwise we're going to go to online. And so we have some questions from the morning, and we have some questions probably from this evening. And the people that couldn't ask their questions this morning, they know to listen.
This question is from Sri Radhika Mataji. While you said that the goal is not to currently give up our occupational duties and just hear and chant all day, it seems...
I didn't say to hear and chant all day.
No, I mean, don't just do that, but also you said don't give up occupational duties.
Yeah, that is what I said, but the other part isn't what I said.
Maybe I'm reading it wrong, Guru Maharaj, sir. Is not to just hear and chant all day.
Yeah.
So it seems that there is a time for that in life, which is why Vanaprastha and Sannyas follow Grihastha Ashram.
Yes.
While thoroughly enjoying my responsibilities right now, I also yearn for when, Krishna willing, that stage of life will come upon me. Is this a worthy aspiration?
Yeah. In due course of time. In due course of time. In due course of time, your two boys will grow up and they'll, you know, most likely find a lifestyle and occupation and things that are meaningful to them, and they'll no longer be in the home, and it'll be just you and your husband instead of you and your husband and your two boys. And then you'll have some more freedom, and you can consider, how am I going to use that discretionary time? So it's a stage of life. Vanaprastha is a stage of life. Okay.
And these questions are from Sanchari Mataji. We hear often about how the gopis would sometimes get upset or angry with Krishna, and even about how Mother Yashoda would chastise him through the Damodar Leela, etc. Did the gopis and his own cowherd boyfriends even become upset and angry with him?
Well, the gopis certainly did, but in a loving manner.
Or did the gopas? Sorry.
Oh, the gopas? They would tease him and laugh at him and poke fun at him sometimes. But it was done in a loving way, not in the other kind of way that people do those things. The bullying way. It wasn't like that.
And the second question is, did Nanda Baba or the Vrajavasis ever get upset with Vasudev for asking Krishna to stay back in Mathura?
There's no indication. No indication at all.
And this question is from Radhika, Kirti Prabhu's daughter.
What's her age?
10.
Yeah. Okay.
The question is...
How old are you? Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Just like Krishna's favorite gopi is Radharani, who is the favorite gopi of Lord Balaram?
I don't know. I don't know the names of any of the gopis of Balaram, other than just it's repeatedly said it's a different set of gopis than Krishna's set of gopis. But names, I don't know.
So, Antaranga Shakti Mataji was asked this morning, can you please explain apasmara? Morning there was a term that you had read, Guru Maharaj, apasmara.
I don't recall. Do you?
I had two thoughts. I don't know if it's the fainting that happens when they're, when the gopis... There was a passage that you read about, one was when gopis were having ecstatic symptoms, or they didn't even like that. They didn't want that interruption to happen in there. That's what I remember. But again,
I can look this up, because I'm, you know, see if I can understand what the question is, and we'll discuss it tomorrow morning. Okay? These are morning class discussion topics.
And then this is from Ananda Viharini Mataji. How can I stay in continuous spiritual humility and not let the immediate negative emotion get the better of me?
This is an important question and a common question, and we discussed it extensively. You're turning it up or down? I just moved it closer, then it went, started ringing. So, with the Dhruva Maharaj pastime, where exactly this question comes up three times in that whole Dhruva Maharaj pastime, with his mother, with Narada, and with Swayambhuva Manu. So if you don't mind, can you just go listen to that section? And it's like elaborately discussed three times.
And Premananda Mataji just responded back, apasmara is the section that you read, they had like epileptic fit kind of bhava symptoms.
Okay.
Yeah.
When smara means remember, and apa, I don't know what upa means, I'm not sure what apa means, but it's like they become so, the mind becomes frozen. And it's like one is having an epileptic fit. Their body doesn't move. They're in this stunned state. So that's the meaning. Okay.
Then this is also from morning class. Sucharita Mataji's question. With the pandemic, associating with devotees is physically reduced. Will online association be as effective, Guru Maharaj? How to improve or get association otherwise?
Well, we don't have a choice. So it's not as effective, but it's close. And because when there's physical, there's also sound. But if there's no physical, then we can associate with sound because that's what's available to us. And it may be going on for some time. We'll see. So take advantage of those increased numbers of opportunities of sound association through classes like this. And you don't have your commute back and forth to work, so you have a little more discretionary time to tune into those classes. Go ahead.
This is from Radha Kunja Bihari Prabhu.
We're still in the morning. Or this is evening now.
This is, he texted just now. This is evening.
Okay, fine.
Morning is done.
Okay.
So he says, I liked the analogy of fire and flies.
Mm.
While the gopis and gopas had done a lot of devotional service to be with Krishna in his pastimes, what are the activities that these demons had done to come in contact with the Lord and even achieve liberation, which, though not desirable, is very difficult to achieve?
Somebody asked a similar question when they asked, you know, each of these demons, who were they in their previous life? It's another way of saying the same thing. What have they done to achieve this good fortune of being killed and thus liberated by Krishna? And I don't know of any. In some cases, Garga Samhita gives the past lives of different personalities in Krishna's pastimes or the Lord's pastimes. But I'm not aware. I'm not aware. Mainly, it's not like what good fortune, how did they get this good fortune? It's just a very special expression of Krishna's mercy that they're now in contact with him. It's, you know, it's something like, here's a for example, Kaliya. There is some description of who Kaliya was before he was Kaliya in Vrindavan, and he was from another place, and he was just like super envious. And he had offended Garuda. So he was, it's a long story, but he ended up taking shelter in a place where Garuda wouldn't go. And then therefore he contaminated the lake by the side of the river Jamuna. But he didn't do anything good. He was just bad. But so the wives of the Kaliya serpent say, how merciful are you, because even the most exalted sages, they worship their lotus feet, and he's getting the impression of lotus feet again and again and again and again and again on his head. What good fortune. Or for some of them, we have some explanation, like the serpent that was swallowing Nanda Maharaj. We hear it was Vidyadhara, and he was making fun of sages, which was an offense. Sages cursed him, but they also, by their curse, they gave this benediction that he would then be delivered by the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. So he didn't do anything special other than he offended some brahmanas, and the brahmanas were very merciful. So there's some situations we have an understanding of the previous situation, But primarily it's Krishna's mercy. Not some good deed they did that got that special good fortune for them.
This is from Mahati Kirti, Mahati Mataji. She has two questions. First question is, Krishna of Vrindavan is different from Lord Krishna of Mathura or Lord Krishna of Dwaraka. The Virat Rupa of Lord Krishna is also different from him by his inconceivable potency. The Virat Rupa exhibited on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is a material conception of his form. So she read this in the 14th chapter of first canto. So she says, I'm confused. I understood all Krishnas are same. Can you please explain, Maharaj?
Okay, that's a big topic, not a small one. They're all forms of Krishna, including the Virat Rupa, but they have different functions. Specifically, Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in Dwarka, and Krishna in Mathura. They're all forms of Krishna that have different functions, and the complete Swayam Bhagavan Krishna in Vrindavan has all the different features within him, and you can't say the same thing about the other forms of Krishna. They're not the same as Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, because Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is the original from which all other forms have come. That's the conclusion of Bhagavatam 1.3.28. And then the universal form is much more delicate or difficult to nail down in a short terminology. It's not, sometimes it's used, the word imaginary is used, but it's not in the literal or material sense of imaginary. Like, you know, Harry Potter is imaginary. Totally fiction. And the Virat Rupa is not totally fiction. It's imaginary in the sense that it's temporary. It's real. It's a form of Krishna. It is a form of Krishna. It is non-different than Krishna. And it's different than Krishna. At the same time. Different, particularly in the sense that it's temporary. And there's different features of that Virat Rupa that are obviously, Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna is the source of everything. Therefore, Krishna must be the source of the Virat Rupa. And it's Krishna's form, the form of the universe. But it's temporary. In that sense, imaginary.
Her second question is, Lord Krishna was apparently killed by the bow and arrow of the hunter, and the Lord left his so-called material body in the material world. How is it Krishna's body is material? We learned that the same Lord from Goloka came to the earthly planet.
There's lots of commentary on that topic. We discussed it at length when we went to Dwarka, so she can listen to that Dwarka recording. But in short, it was a trick, an illusory form. It's not Krishna's, doesn't have a material form, but to trick the materialists, Krishna left that form. Krishna's form is all spiritual. He says so in Bhagavad Gita, and it's true. Naham prakashya sarvasya yogamaya samavrata mudhoyam nabijanati. So persons that are foolish, they think have assumed a form. So he left a form for foolish people. He has no material form. But there's commentary, and there's discussion about that commentary. She can check that out when she has the time. You have something? Okay.
Sanjay Prabhu was asking, I heard that Krishna is also under yogamaya potency during his leela.
Krishna does what?
Krishna is under yogamaya potency sometimes.
Krishna directs the Yogamaya potency, not Krishna's under the Yogamaya potency. And sometimes by Krishna's will, Yogamaya potency, which is under his will, sometimes the Yogamaya potency influences Krishna to forget himself.
And his follow-up question, and is there any personification of Yogamaya?
Yeah, Purnamasi.
And this question is from Radha. Is Lord Shiva's wife Bhavani Mahamaya Durga and Maya in Ramayana, in Mahishasura's story, all of the same? And if not, what's the difference? Like, is Lord Shiva's wife Bhavani, Mahamaya, Durga, Maya in Ramayana, etc.? Are they all same?
I'm not sure the reference to Maya in Ramayana. But all the other references that you're making, yes, they're the same. They're different aspects of the same personality. The aspect of the personality invites a certain name or nomenclature. But it's the same entity or the same Shakti, the same person with different names according to the feature that's being exhibited. The answer is yes.
Okay. And this question is from Anushri, Ramaraghava Prabhu's daughter. Why did Devaki and Vasudev agree to let Kamsa kill the children, being the parents? Why did they choose not to die themselves?
Well, the choice to die themselves wouldn't have solved the problem. And Vasudev gave his word, and the nature of Vasudev is to keep his word. The nature of an honorable person like Dasarath. When Dasarath gave his word, he kept his word. When Ram gave his word, he kept his word. When Vasudev gave his word, he kept his word.
Yeah.
He gave his word to save Devaki's life at a time when he tried multiple other things and nothing worked, so he gave his word. And a noble and honorable person maintains their word. And violating his word wouldn't have solved anything. The children would have been killed anyways.
And this question is from Radha Rani Rasas. It looks like her name is Padma. She asks, is attraction a cultivable quality or is it a natural awakening? How to genuinely develop attraction for Lord Krishna?
They're both. It's natural, and that which is natural may need to be cultivated. And how you do is by the bhakti process. Learn the bhakti process, follow it carefully, and you're cultivating attraction, which is natural. The healthy state is natural.
And two more questions. This is from Kasturi Manjari Mataji. She is quoting the purport from 10th Canto, 87th chapter, 23rd verse. Which
87th says, chapter. That's a very elevated chapter. Prayers by the personified Vedas.
Something about the Gayatri Mantra.
Yeah, let's not go there. She can discuss that with me separately, not now.
And final one from Rajeshwara Pran Mataji. She says it's unrelated question. Lord Shiva's abode Kailash is above Brahma Jyoti, below Vaikuntha Loka.
No. Okay. Kailash, the abodes of Lord Shiva are multiple. And the Kailash, which we hear often about, is within this material, it's within the universe. One of the abodes of Lord Shiva is within the universe. And another one of the abodes, there's multiple abodes. And so one of them is Shada Shiva Loka is in the Vaikuntha realm, and Shiva Loka is in the spiritual sky. So,
where does the devotees of Lord Shiva go?
Well, it depends on their consciousness. That's what determines where they go. He has multiple abodes. Very, the Shiva Tattva is very involved. You have one. Okay, okay. We have time. You're on.
I have a question about the Vaishnava Aparat.
Vaishnava Aparat, okay.
Yeah. So, we know that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right?
Yes.
So, in Vaishnava Aparat, they say one is that if you do the difference between Shiva and Sri Krishna, there is a Vaishnava Aparat.
Okay.
So, Shiva is coming from the Brahma's Bhukuti lineage, right?
Yes.
So, how come they both saying, we know that Krishna is the Supreme Person. So, why they say that if you do the difference between the Shiva and Sri Krishna? So, how come it is aparad like that?
Okay, I'm not sure you're quoting the offense properly. Yeah, that's, you don't think you need the microphone anymore. There's one source of everything, as you started off saying. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is the source of everything. And from that source of everything, everything comes. So one of the things that comes, one of the everything that comes, is Lord Shiva. So if one thinks that Lord Shiva is the source of everything equal to Krishna, equal to and independent from Krishna, that's the offense. Then you have multiple sources of everything. Philosophically it's wrong, and in terms of regard for Krishna, it's an offense. One shouldn't consider any entity, anything that comes from that which is the source of everything, to be a competitor source of everything. That would be an offense. It would be mistaken and an offense. Okay? Okay.
I have one more question, sorry.
Okay.
So, I know there are Leela avatars and Yuga avatars.
Yeah.
So, is there a list of where there, you know, it's listed that these are the Yuga avatars and
sure.
These are the Leela avatars? Because I know Kalki in Kaliyuga is the Leela avatar. And Yuga avatar was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, what is...
Can you find the list? That's what you want to know.
Yeah, and
There's...
And what is the difference between the two?
Okay. There's six categories of avatars. You're mentioning two, but there's six. So, Yuga avatar is they're delivering the means of achieving spiritual perfection for each of the four yugas. So there's one yuga avatar per yuga. So there's four yugas and there's different cycles of the yugas. So that's what a yuga avatar is. And then there's lila avatar. Their function is different. They perform pastimes. So, you know, the celebrated ones, das avatar, there's 10. So they perform pastimes. So the yuga avatar established that the means of achieving perfection for a particular yuga. And then during that same yuga, there's lila avatars. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, so is there one lila avatar and one yuga avatar, or there are more?
No. There's one yuga avatar per yuga, and there's multiple lila avatars for every yuga.
Where is that list of all the...
You want to know the list.
Yeah,
teachings of Lord Chaitanya, in the teachings to Sanatana Goswami, and in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teachings to Sanatana Goswami. She can tell you where they are. You have if you don't have the text, it's available online, and she can show you how to get it online. Those are the two main places where you'll find it.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
Something more? No? Huh? They're just typing right now. You have something? Okay. So it looks like we're finished for this evening. And I have a homework assignment. No, I already did it. It's, yeah, we're done.
And, Maharaj.
What's that?
Whatever you said, from the Haridam to Ayodhya Dham, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Ayodhya and Saket is the same thing, right? Saket Dham.
What's the word?
Saket Dham.
Saket?
Saket Dham for Sri Ramchandra.
San.
Who was the devotee from Saket?
Saket. I don't know about Saket. I've never heard the term.
Oh.
There's a place in Vrindavan that sounds like Saket. Sanket. Sanket. But that's a place in...
S-A-K-A-T. Saket.
Never heard it. Never heard it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Because they said...
S-A-K-A-T.
Saket is for Sri Ramchandra's Dham is the Saket Dham.
I never heard it.
Krishna's Dham is the Golok Dham.
So here's the verse from Brahma Samhita. Listen. Goloka namni nija. Nija means his own. Nija damni tadecha tasya devi maheshu haridamasu teshu teshu. So at the topmost abode is Goloka. Then Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, Hari Dham, Goloka Dham. And a topmost, it doesn't say in that verse, but topmost of Hari Dham is Ayodhya Dham. It's within the Hari Dham region. It's in the Vaikuntha region. Hari Dham region, same. Now, because you've used this term and you're asking, so I'm going to look it up. S-A-K-E-T? S-A-K-E-T.
Saket is also known also an old name for ancient city of Ayodhya.
Okay. Okay. Never heard it before. Hare Krishna. So, you have something? Okay.
This is from Rupa Mataji. She has two questions.
This is Sri Rupa?
No. Vinod Prabhu's wife in
Naperville.
Okay. Yeah. So, first question is, Krishna completed his task of annihilating the impure by descending on the earth, and when his signs of disappearance started, things went bad again. Meaning, so he settled down the Kurukshetra and Pandava started ruling, everything was going well. And then when...
And he left and then things started going bad again.
Yeah.
So now what's the point?
So people started losing morals, etc. So did it happen right after Battle of Kurukshetra or was it after a few hundred years? And she says, I was feeling bad that Krishna did so much and things turned around when his disappearance appeared.
Well, when he disappears, that marks the beginning of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga shows its full glory during the reign of Maharishi Parikshit, which happens shortly after Krishna's departure. But the modes of ignorance are prevalent even before the personality of Kali starts doing his thing, because the modes of nature are active. So Krishna eliminating the demon doesn't mean the modes of nature stop acting. The mode of ignorance is still there and people do bad stuff in the mode of ignorance.
And Varshana Mataji has an unrelated question. I recently read about Avagya in Harinam Chintamani. It talks if Avagya as false sense of superiority.
Yeah.
Avagya then goes on to become more serious offenses.
Yeah.
Could we say this is basically lack of respect for the person?
Yes.
How do we cultivate respect for everyone and how to teach children this culture?
By spiritual vision, yeah, I'm looking out the window and there's some bushes and some trees and there's probably a bunch of bugs out there. So how do you respect the bushes and trees and bugs? Without a spiritual conception, it's not going to happen. It pleases me or it displeases me. That's about as far as it goes. But you see the covering only and not the essence or spark of life within, then, you know, they're not going to have respect. So how to is by developing spiritual conception of reality. And the sense she's, you know, the conclusion she's reaching is correct. When we don't have a spiritual conception, instead we have a material conception of things or people or whatever out there, it invites offense. Avagya, it means, you know, it's neglect or ignore or worse, it accelerates. So the antidote is the spiritual conception. Okay, we're done. Hare Krishna. Yeah.